Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Evan Herman. And today we're going to talk about what it means to believe that God can work all things out for your good. And then also how to build relationships with people that are around you. And today I get to talk to a newer friend of mine who is a pastor within the same organization that I'm a part of. And his name is Jeff Anderson. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Evan. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. You know, I think all of us at one point in time have experienced a really crappy moment in life. And yes, we ask ourselves, there's no way God can redeem this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's for sure. I don't think it's, I think everyone has the opportunity many times to experience that.
Absolutely. So it becomes discouraging because when something bad happens, we don't feel like God is still in control. So from my experience, a lot of times when it comes to facing difficult circumstances, when we go through something difficult, oftentimes when I try to control my own situation and not let go and let God take care of it, I end up creating more pressure and anxiety within myself. But as soon as I say, God, I know that you are here with me in this moment, then he can turn around and use things for good when I live in a life of surrender. So my question to you is, how do I move from the anxiety-ridden, trying to control the situation myself, to letting go and letting God? Mm-hmm.
I believe that the scripture is clear with us that we are to cast that care, casting all of our cares upon us because he cares for us. And when I know and at the beginning of every situation that nothing shall separate me from his love, that he hasn't left the situation, he hasn't left me, and knowing that he cares for me more than I do, sort of like being a parent, once I find out that I know that my son is his son before he's mine, and that he is his God and he does a way better job of being God to my son than I do. And so once I cast that care upon him, because he does care for me and I recognize that he loves me more than I love myself, then, and he has better interest in things that I'm in than I do, then I can trust and rest that it's going to be way better than what I could do on my own.
So as you're sharing this, the perception that I'm getting is that what it really comes down to is an identity issue. Mm-hmm. Because Yes. Then you need to know who you are in Christ to have that confidence to trust in God. So for those, and even I myself go through this periodically, I think regardless of how well we all go through moments of identity crisis. Mm-hmm. How do we go like, all right, I'm going through something. All right, my identity is being shaken right now. How do I reaffirm my identity in Christ, or even allow Christ to reaffirm my identity in him?
Yeah, the first thing I continue to go back to is the word. I know that whenever I go and share with young people, is usually Isaiah 41, where he speaks and he says, "Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be worried, I am your God." Basically, that God is taking over ownership of us. And then in Ephesians tells that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works. And then Psalm 139, where he goes through the whole thing there, telling about, you knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. And one of the biggest things that I can remember as a young kid is laying in my bed and wondering why things are going wrong or what is even the point of my life. And when it comes down to knowing that he's the one that created me and he's the one that put he's the author and the finisher of my faith. He began the good work in me. He'll bring it to pass. But without knowing the word, it's hard to do that. And then you're on your own. But once we have that word, we have that faith to believe and trust in God. And so those instances, Psalm 139 is a big one also that I can go through and find out, hey, he was thinking about me before I was formed in my mother's womb. And if I just share one thing real quick, I found a letter from my parents when I was born. And it was later in life. I was probably 25. But I found it in some old stuff. And they were just talking about how they, I was just born and they were leading up to being born and they had wrote this letter to me. And when I read it, it's all their expectations of what they were thinking about me. And just hearing that, hey, even though life didn't work out the way we all want, but just hearing of their love for me before I was even here. So on the other side of that, knowing that God was thinking about me before I was even here, it's just amazing. And I find that identity in him. And that's where it awesome. Comes from. Mm-hmm.
You know, a scripture that I'm reminded of is Romans 10:17 that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And in this process of needing to build up your faith in moments of hardship, I know a lot of people get down on themselves for not reading the Bible enough. People in the Old Testament times and even in New Church era, New Testament times didn't actually have access to the scriptures like we do. So it's important when the Bible says faith comes by hearing, it literally meant hearing, because they would have to recount stories or go to synagogue and hear scripture being read off of papyri. So for us, and especially when you struggle with reading, get the YouVersion Bible app and go to audio Bible and then turn it on and build yourself up by hearing the word of God or hearing sermons. Because when you feed your soul the word of God, you are strengthening your heart, soul, and mind. And when you do that, you reinforce the identity of who God created you to be. Meanwhile, you are also putting up a resistance of the attack of the destruction of how God created you to be. And in this process, when you reinforce who you are in Christ, and your belief turns more into those habits, and those habits then also, that belief goes into your habits, and then your habits turn into actions, and your actions turn into thoughts, and your thoughts turn into beliefs, and then it creates a cycle over and over. So as you get into the word, as Jeff was saying, mm-hmm. and you plug yourself in there, then it becomes a repetitive action of a circular system that feeds itself.
Yes.
Jeff, something that, you know, when I think of a difficult circumstance, I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they would not bow down to the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar built. And they were taken in front of Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, hey, look, I like you guys. I'm going to offer you another chance to bow down. But if not, I'm going to have to throw you into the fiery furnace, because that was the law. That was the decree I built. And they just did a boss move. They're like, King, we're not going to bow down. We trust that the Lord our God will provide us from your hand. And even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. Like, that's one of my favorite mic drop moments of the Bible, because they literally told the king off. And he was so angry that the story goes, he turned the furnace up 7 times hotter, that the guys who even put them in there died. But yet Christ showed up in the furnace with them, yeah. didn't spare them from the furnace, mm-hmm. but showed up there with them. How can people recognize Jesus showing up in our lives in the midst of hard circumstances? Mm-hmm.
Well, in the book of Acts, or even before that, Jesus said that, behold, I'm with you always. And he said that he would confirm his word with signs following. And when we trust in him and we call upon his name, we will be saved. We will be delivered. His promises will come to pass. And we don't have to look for a sign. But he says in Romans that within us, that our spirit, his spirit bears witness with our spirit. And in those alone moments, whenever you're looking for him, he's going to show up. He will show up when you call upon him. He'll answer. And if you're looking for the answer, you'll definitely hear it. You'll definitely see it. He showed up in many ways, you know, to Moses, showed up in a burning bush, different ways. He'll get the message through. He's our good shepherd. And once I read that, and that he's our good shepherd, he knows me. I know his voice, and another voice I will not follow. And when he speaks, he said, they know my voice. So any of us in times in our life when we say, I can't hear God. He's telling us, yes, you can. And I know how to get through to you. And if we will listen, and we will call upon him. He will answer.
You know, I think one of the issues that we struggle with about not hearing God is because we don't disconnect ourselves enough from our situation or distractions to be able to discern God's voice.
Yes.
And because of that, people think God's not talking. And I'm reminded yesterday, I was watching a minister speak, and I've never really watched this individual minister. I've never read anything of his, but for whatever reason, I was captivated by an interview he was doing. And they were talking about the end times and how there's going to be famine. There's going to be global issues with currency and money. And something that I often think too far about is those days and how difficult they will be and how I can plan for them. And I almost personally get a little anxious about what am I going to do when there's complete lack, when the government's not doing their role. And I tend to worry about things that I shouldn't. And whether you're like me in that specific situation or you worry about other things. And he was talking about how God will always provide for his kids, his children. And I believe that that's true. But there's the part in me that doesn't believe, that I don't have the faith for that. Even though I saw God provide manna in the desert through scripture. Even when Elijah went to the widow and was fed. And then when the widow had nothing, God provided for the widow. Even though I've never gone hungry a day in my life, I have this internal fear of, is my God a provider? And I think a lot of us struggle with that right now. But getting to the point of this, what this individual said is that even when God destroyed the whole world with the flood, for his chosen people, he made a way of protection and provision through the ark. But this is where I'm taking it one step further. He had to obey God and build the ark. He had to be a steward of hearing God's voice. In addition to that, he had to have the consistency over like 120 years, I believe. It was either 100 or 120 years it took to build the ark. And then to get all the animals and the food and the grain and everything. And so many times, God's preparing us in advance for stuff, but we're not listening. You look at when God came to Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus, in a dream about leaving because of King Herod killing all the kids. But before he left for Egypt, you know what showed up? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Mm-hmm. And that gold, frankincense, and myrrh was probably on a 1 to 2 year journey on that way long before they left. Mm-hmm. So here's my question, Pastor Jeff. We often want to get rescued out of our situations as Christians, but what God is saying, no, I need you to hear my voice and I need you to plan in advance, or even if you're through it, how do we disconnect enough? How do we quiet ourselves enough to hear God's voice? Because I know there's a lot of people that say, well, I don't hear God. God doesn't talk to me. I read the Bible. I do this, but God's silent. To that I say, meh, I don't think he is. But for those that think that, what's your response?
Yeah. The scripture coming up to me is to be still and to know that I am God. And when we are still, if you're right, in our society, we don't have much stillness at all. Stillness in our mind. But he also said in Romans to don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And therefore, it goes back to faith and hearing his word. His word and his spirit are one. He and his word are one. So if we're not hearing anything audibly what we think we would hear or anything in our thought realm to where it's coming to us, we need to get back to his word. Get back to that word, hear the word. If you're trying to fix something or you're trying to find out what to invest in, we all know that YouTube is, we can jump right on YouTube and figure out how to fix a garbage disposal, whatever it would be. Well, YouTube has many, many voices, and so does the world. And we can search for his voice anytime we need to, but to be still and know that he's God. And when we, in the stillness, that's what we're here. I like to hunt and fish. And when I'm in hanging in a tree somewhere, or I'm sitting in a boat, or I'm sitting on the beach and I get still, that's when I'll hear. Whenever I was removed from all my friends, and when I was reaching that place in my life where I said I was hitting rock bottom, my car got repossessed. I didn't plan, just like you said, I wasn't a very good steward of what he had given me. And I had a lot of waste in my life. And when it came time to get to that place and my car got repossessed, I was basically alone. That's when I heard him the most. And when I was alone and I was still and I was quiet and I cut away all those things and I said, I need you, he will answer. And he's faithful to do so. And he's not a man that he would lie. And so in the trying and engaging in ourselves to try to attempt to hear his voice, we need to be still and know that he's God and he will answer. He promised it. If not, he'd be a liar. And we know that God's not a man that he would lie. So he's faithful. And he says, he said that, you know, it's my word. And if I said it, shall I not do it? If I said it, shall I not bring it to pass? He's watching over his word to perform it on our behalf. And he will speak to you. Be still and know that he is God and he'll show up.
So I love what you're saying. And I have a couple theories on how we can do that. Okay. Have you ever maxed out a credit card? I think many of us have at one point in time of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so frustrating because then you had no money. Like, and even using the credit card, typically most people don't have the money to pay for it. But what happens is then you have no margin for anything going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In our world and in our life today, we are so busy, mm-hmm. is the word.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I'm so busy. Really? What are you doing? Oh, I got work. I got kids. I got this. It's like, look at your iPhone and look at your statistics on how much you're on social media. Yes. You know, I'm on social media, golly, so much, so much, whether I'm posting content or consuming content.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We need to create margin in our life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And finances and our time.
Mm-hmm.
And something, Jeff, that God has really, I shouldn't say strongly convicted me on, but he spoke to me about a week ago through an individual. And I'm like, oh, I need to listen to this. This is God speaking to me through this. He talked about having many influential voices in your life. And I realized, Jeff, I go to church, so I have the church influence, this speaking into my life. I do podcasts where I have guests like you speaking. I'm a part of a mastermind. I have that. I read 2 to 3 books a week, so I have that. I have the Bible, and I'm constantly learning new stuff on YouTube and then even like TikTok. I've got my algorithm pretty dialed in to send me personal growth stuff. So I'm constantly getting different people as I'm scrolling through it. What I realized is I've maxed myself out on hearing advice from so many other people. Mm-hmm. When it comes time to making a decision, I call different people in my life who I trust, like, hey, I have a decision I need to make and I'm not sure which one to do. What do you think? And I hear so many other voices. But the one voice I want to hear, I can often struggle with because I haven't created the margin, the time, the space. And how do we build that margin, Jeff? How do we say, you know what, God, I need to deconstruct all the other influences, not my faith, but the other influences. I need to dial that down a notch, and I need to increase the word of God. Yes. But how do I start the discipline of building margin and getting rid of all those other influences so that I can start hearing God's voice better?
Yeah, I think that if in Matthew where it says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness or his way of doing and being right. When we know to seek first, starting my day with that, that's what I start my day with. I know as a young pastor, and I still consider myself a young pastor, I've been doing it for 7 years now, but I would hear many, many voices, just like you're saying, and I so relate to that. Even though they're good voices, they're godly voices. But when it comes down to ministering to the people that I was going to be in front of when I traveled or at youth camps or even at our own congregation, I could be speaking or just being a mime of someone else's revelation or someone else's relationship with God. And so as a spouse, if I was just being a mime and mimicking somebody else's feelings about who how they feel about their wife or their spouse, that would not be relevant to my wife and I being able to carry a relationship where I can express how I really feel about her. As you, you being a real estate agent, you want to be that voice in someone's life because you're local. And they could be looking at Zillow or all these things across the world about real estate and be near you, but you want to be that one voice. And so what they have to do is create, shut down those search engines, get back to local, to that one voice that they can trust, that one voice that knows. And if you, anybody has ever experienced not having an agent, a sales agent, it's not good. A real estate agent, it is not good. It's hard out there. But once you get that one person you can trust, then they know what you're looking for, then they will do the looking for you. And that's kind of how it is with God. We could cut all those other things out, get to him because he's local, seek first him and his kingdom, his way of doing and being right, seek it first. And he said, isn't life more than all of this? You know, that you're looking at what do you want to wear? What are you going to eat? And he said, isn't life more than all of that? He said, look at the lilies, consider the birds. None of them go hungry. None of them do without, yet God supplies them every day. Mm. And so to seek him first, and I come down to it and say, this is my priority. His word is final authority in my life. He is the most important person in my life. And when we pray for our son from a young age, we always told him, God is the most important person in your life. He loves you more than we do. We love you, but God loves you more. And he is the most important relationship in your life. And the most important gift that I could ever give my wife and my son is my relationship with Jesus Christ. So to know that they're not going to be first, he is always first. And when someone is first, that means they're the priority. They're the main voice. They're the main reason that I live. And in doing that, that gives him, that honors him. And then he honors those that honor him.
That's awesome. I actually wrote down something that you said, and it really struck me. You're basically being a Christian mime mimicking other people's relationship and revelation from the Lord. It's not your own. Mm-hmm. Guilty, 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 guilty. So much. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we can't learn from people.
Right.
But other people's experiences with the Lord is not our own relationship, is not our own revelation, is not our own intimacy. Wow, that was so good. Because it's easy to get caught up into thinking that I'm learning from someone else's relationship and experiences, which we can. But when that's all our Christian life is intimacy with God based off of other people's relationship, holy cow. Mm-hmm. And you don't have anything steadfast. You're not built on the rock.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. We're built on sinking sand, as the Bible were to say. Wow, that's good. I'm going to write a book on that.
Amen. That's just like the guy that he wanted to, his name's slipping my mind now, but he wanted to go and cast the demons out. And they that said, you know, we know Paul,
Sons
we know
Stephen,
Jesus, but who are you? Yeah. He said, then who are you? And he got whooped up for it. But he said, we know these other guys. But so, yeah, the real deal. But being in that relationship is the primary thing, and being close. So all the other voices, they can enhance that relationship and they can help us when we're seeking those things. But that main voice, it comes down to worship. You know, I'm not going to have any other gods before him. And when I'm worshiping him, I need to be expressing not just words from a screen, and I can be reading them off or waiting for the worship team to get me to a place where I need to. But that's if I told my wife, hey, listen, the mood isn't right, or none of this stuff is right, and I have to have all these things in mind, be in my easy chair, have my drink, have my food ready, and this meal before I can ever tell you I love you, that would never fly. That has to be a place of the heart. And that's where the relationship with God is. He's looking for the heart. And that's why when he looked at all the sons of Jesse, he went, surely this is the one. No. Went down through it. And he said, you know, is there another son? And he brought him in and ended up being David, a man after God's own heart. And it's the relationship that means the most.
Are you familiar with the monk Brother Lawrence? He didn't write the book, but he wrote a lot of different letters that got compiled into a book called Practicing the Presence of God.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So his actual name is Nick Herman, which is unique because that is my last name is Herman, and Nick is a very strong family name. But we come from Germany. He was in France, and I do have some heritage in France. And so and I don't know if I'm related to him, but that'd be really cool. But that's not the point of the story. Point is, you have this monk who went into the monastery because he had real no means of providing for himself because he was injured in the war. So he became a monk. They made him the accountant. He sucked at math and messed the books up. They made him a cook. He was terrible at cooking, and monks were angry at him. So they demoted him to getting the food for a cook. But because of his injury from the war and he was slow, he could never get the food back on time. And then it was always late, and then people got mad at him. He kept getting demoted, demoted, and demoted until he became a dishwasher. But in washing dishes, he experienced the presence of God because he learned how to live in relationship with God wherever he was at, and not just in a quiet devo time. Like, okay, here's my 10 minutes, God. Here's an hour. He learned to practice the presence of God wherever he was at. So, Pastor Jeff, what is one or two tools that an individual can use to practice the presence of God, as you were saying, wherever we're at?
Yeah, I would say the first one, of course, you know, prayer, or praying in the spirit, praying in other tongues. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. And in that time, he's ministering to your heart. When I'd go out on jobs and I get to the, I would get to each city that I was driving to or town, and I'm being dispatched to fix someone's internet. There's someone on the other side of that. And whenever I acknowledge him and I say, you know, I pray. And I asked, you know, for wisdom for this problem to help these people, because I don't have all that wisdom or the knowledge to do so. But acknowledging him in prayer, seek him first and call upon him. But praying in others' tongues, praying in the spirit, building myself up, it charges me up like a battery. And when I do that, then I'm hearing his voice on the inside, and then I'm following his lead, and I'm not getting ahead of him or being pressured. Or not moving by pressure or haste, which leads to sin. But whenever I have that peace of God that passes all understanding in me, it guards and keeps my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So I would say prayer and praying in the spirit. That's the biggest thing, prayer and worship, to get to that intimacy with him. First off, that's what I can do and what I can control. You and I can control how much we pray or how we pray. And we can control how much we worship and how we do so. And in doing that, we know that it's going to produce the results. It always does. It feels like our flesh doesn't want to, but Jesus said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah. And when we put that flesh under and we submit ourselves to God, and we use our prayer time, that's what Jesus did. I mean, he obviously, you know, they're looking at him at the woman at the well, and they're like, what is going on? He said, I have food that you know not of, and it's doing my Father's will and finishing it. And making that the main priority of my life, to I get alone with him, I seek him, and I worship him. So each town, I would kind of make it a thing. I did. It was kind of a works thing before I knew what I was going on. But each town, I would pray for all the drivers, all the people at my work, and then I'd pray for the situation I was going into. And then once I got to someone's house, he already had the answer of what they need. And then I would begin to hear, oh, my husband passed away, or this is going on wrong with in my life. I don't have any money, or whatever it would be. And I would say, as a cable man, can I pray for you? And prayer, he shows up in prayer, and it changes people's lives. And I can go through towns now and see the different houses. And I'll just say, I worked on someone's internet there, but God showed up in someone's house one day while I was fixing their internet and made all the difference in someone's world.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So prayer and worship would be those.
So hypothetically, Jeff, let's say someone is like, wow, I really liked this interview and I just want to watch some sermons of Jeff. Where can they find you at?
They can find us on Facebook. It's FCF Morgantown. It's Morgantown, West Virginia, but it's FCF Morgantown. And also on YouTube, the same FCF Morgantown. You can go to YouTube. I fixed the site, so hopefully it works now, the website. But you could look that up. My name is Jeff Anderson, but FCF Morgantown is where you can look us up on Facebook and YouTube. And that's the easiest way.
That's awesome. Any parting words?
Well, just as a seek first the kingdom, know that, you know, God, with God, all things are possible. And he wants you to become all he's created for you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he before ordained that you should walk in them. And he will always be faithful to his word. He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you, nor turn his back on you.
Awesome. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate it. And if you're interested in knowing more about Pastor Jeff and his church, definitely go check him out on YouTube and their website. Go leave them an amazing Google review through Google, because that helps them get more eyes in their local area. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Until next time, stay blessed. Mm-hmm.